Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Johnny Burton, the Director of the Mineral Management Service at the U.S. Department of Interior. And joining us in our conversation is Steve Sika.
Johnny, how do you envision MMS in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think MMS will have to continue to work with industry to produce oil and gas where we can, but I think it needs to also go in a slightly different direction, and it has begun the process of looking at how to encourage alternative sources of energy. The Secretary of Interior is very, very interested in alternative sources of energy to try and shift the burden away from the petroleum into, let's say, biomass, wind energy, wave energy. And certainly MMS would play a part because offshore might be an ideal place to have wind farms, to have wave, I don't know what you'd call them, but wave energy. And the technology is almost there. It certainly is for wind. And for wave, there are several mechanisms that can produce energy. I think that an agency of the federal government is going to have to be the lead agency to look at new sources. One of the sources that may be fantastic, but it's not there yet, it's methane hydrates, which exist in the Gulf of Mexico and in the permafrost of Alaska. And it's really natural gas, methane, that is trapped in frozen molecules of water. And it's like big mountains of ice. But if you would let that ice melt, the rest is gas. And it compressed the gas so much that when it releases, it's 600 times the volume it had in that crystal. This is being studied by several, by the Department of Energy, certainly, and by the Geological Survey, which is a Bureau of Interior, and MMS also participates. All of these new sources of energy will have to be investigated, and we need to figure out how to regulate that production when it occurs, again, for safety reason mostly, safety of the environment, safety of the people. I think that MMS is going to have to go more and more in that direction. Right now, we don't have the authority to do that. We're hoping that Congress would take a good look at it and give Interior the authority to manage, to lead that development. Because right now, if you want to put a wind farm offshore, you have to go probably first to the Corps of Engineer to get a license for traffic in the sea. But there are a lot of other things, you know. Who is studying the impact on the environment? Who is deciding how that's going to be decommissioned when it doesn't work anymore? Who is watching over the safety of the people that work there? There's no answers right now. So we're hoping that the Department of the Interior can make a good enough case with Congress that we would be given this authority. If that occurs, I suspect MMS is going to have to grow a bit. And I know this is anathema when you talk about growing a federal agency. But we actually do what we do today with a fairly small number of people, considering the way the federal system works and what we have to do. I think that we're going to need more resources to do alternative resource management. But I think that's what I see in another 5-10 years. I'll see a third program, if you will, because we need to do that and we need to prepare for it now.
Johnny, you've talked about a lot of different promising technologies, things that might be surfacing in the near future. What are your thoughts around how you support new technologies? And I mean, do you place your bets on all those things? Do you go through a process to say, no, we've got to pick a few of the most promising and invest our resources there? How do you see that unfolding?
The technology development is really done by industry. We do not invest in it. We do not choose. We let industry do the development, do the research, and come to us. Now, what we need at MMS is the tools to evaluate what they bring to us. So For example, there's been tremendous progress in seismic survey. But in order to really interpret what you see, you need very special computer programs, etc. We need to have our people trained to do that and to have the tools, the computer system, etc., that can look at what industry is bringing to us and say, yeah, that sounds safe enough, or that sounds good enough, or, you know. But we don't choose. We have to be able to pass judgment on all the things that come to us, which means we need to have a lot of training, a lot of specific skills. We constantly have to know what industry is doing, and we stay on the point with them. But essentially, industry is going to make the decision of what is the most economical and the most efficient. And we have then to look at it, and we look at the downside. This technology, what is the danger of it? And we try to give them some guidelines about, you know, you can do it this way, but we're worried about this. You might want to work a little more on that, etc.
Johnny, you've spent a significant portion of your career in the service of, in government service as a public servant. What advice would you give to someone interested in a career in public service?
First of all, let me say that the last 12, 15 years, not even 15 years, I've been involved in state government and then in federal government. And prior to that, I was in the private sector, so I've had a feel for both. There is certainly some real rewarding aspect to serving the public. I think you need to want to serve the public. It is truly a service. Having said that, I also can tell you that there are some really interesting things happening that government has to know about and to do, such as all the technology, for example, that the MMS employees are exposed to. I mean, for somebody who's a scientist, it's really exciting. Somebody who's an engineer and see those things coming at him, where else would he have the ability to see such a spectrum of different things? If you work in the private sector, you tend to be focused on one particular type of technology, for example. Here you see it all. So it's very exciting, I think. Now, working for the government has its advantages. One of them is really a certain amount of safety and security. Chances are the MMS is not going to be dissolved tomorrow. But when you work for a private company, you never know how the stockholders are going to react or how the market is going to react. And then you could be working for Enron, you know. So I think there are a lot of positive things working for government, and I would encourage anybody who wants a fairly steady path to their career to start. You shouldn't be afraid of starting at the bottom. There are many, many opportunities of promotions in government, and I think that most staff we have at MMS are very, very knowledgeable people that seem to be happy with what they do, which brings me to saying that we need to encourage people to come and work in government. We seem to have an aging workforce right now, and I am concerned on how we're going to replace them when they retire. We have internships. We like people to come and detail with us, spend some time, see what you like, and then hopefully when you come out of school, you come and serve an internship, and we can interest you enough that you can stay with us. And we'd like to do a lot of recruiting. We're trying.
Well, Johnny, that'll have to be our last question. Steve and I want to thank you for fitting us in your busy schedule and joining us this morning.
You are quite welcome. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Johnny.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Johnny Burton, the director of the Mineral Management Service at the U.S. Department of Interior. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.